Chapter 43. Reckoning and Accounting. Hisab, reckoning, is a term which may be applied to the whole proceeding right from the distribution of the scrolls of deeds to the Sirat and its stops, which will be described later. All these things are closely connected with each other and overlapped so much that sometimes they appear to mean one and the same thing. To explain each and every term, the writers have to give separate headings to each, but it must be made clear that explaining one term after another does not imply the sequence of the happenings on the day of Kiamat. Hisab is a very vast subject, and the size of this book does not permit the quotation here of even 1% of the ayats and the hadith. Therefore, only a few important principles will be given here. The questioning about conveying the message of Allah, see chapter 41, will be universal. Nobody will be exempted from it, the prophets, their successors and the people, all will be questioned about it. Once it is done, the mushrikeen, polytheists and or pantheists, will be sent to hell straight away. They will not be asked anything about their deeds. It is clear from many a hadith as well as from the Quran. Verily Allah will not forgive that partners be set up with him, and he will forgive other things to whom he will please. Quran 4:48. Also, many believers will be sent straight away to paradise. Those whose accounts will be checked cannot be easily divided into categories, because each will be dealt with in his own way, according to his belief and deeds, whether he loved the 14 Masameen, peace be upon them, was good to his parents, relatives and neighbors, whether his sins were against Allah, or against the creatures of Allah, and finally whether the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, or his Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, would like to intercede for him or not. Obviously, no hard and fast rules can be laid down for this purpose. Suffice it to say that those who did not believe in Allah, or did not believe in the Holy Prophet of Islam, or did not believe in the 12 Imams who came after the Holy Prophet of Islam, would enter hell, after they had given full account of their deeds and beliefs. Now as to those who believed in all the above mentioned, if a believer had committed a sin and was punished for it by the rightful Qadi or Imam, according to Shariat, that sin would not be brought up again for reckoning, because Allah is just and does not punish twice for one thing. If he had committed a sin against another creature of Allah, it will not be pardoned by Allah, he will have to repay it or seek pardon from the wronged party. If he had committed a sin against Allah, but no creature of Allah was wronged by it, and then had done tawbah, had repented, then, in the words of Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, we hope that the mercy of Allah will cover him, but, at the same time, we are afraid of his punishment to him. On that day, Allah will give his creatures opportunities to seek pardon from their fellows and forgive them. Imam Zain al-Abidin, peace be upon him, narrated a long hadith from Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, a part of which runs as follows. Then, Allah will say, I am Allah, there is no God except I, the judge, the just who does not do any injustice. Today I will judge between you by my justice and fairness, none will be dealt with unjustly. Today I will take the right of the weak from the strong, and the wrong done to anyone will be righted with repayments of good and evil deeds, and I will reward those who will forgive their fellow beings. And no one, who had done wrong to anyone, if that wrong has not been forgiven, will be allowed to pass this narrow passage before me. Quran 4:48. Therefore, seek each other and demand your dues from him who did injustice to you in the world, and I am your witness against them, and enough am I for witness. Then people will recognize each other and catch each other, till everyone has found the person who had done any wrong to him. They will remain in that condition as long as Allah would wish, their condition will become tough, sweat will pour down from them, and their grief will increase, and their cries will rise high and loud. Many of them will be ready to forgive their oppressors just to get away from that place. Then an announcer will say, verily Allah tells you, I am the giver, if you wish to forgive each other, do so, and if anybody does not want to forgive, I will surely get his recompense from his oppressor. Many will forgive their dues, but there will remain many who would not forgive. Then Ridwan, the angel who manages the paradise, will be called, and Allah will command him to raise before them a palace, made of silver, with all its paraphernalia, from the palaces of paradise. The people will be told to raise their eyes and look at it. Everyone will covet it. Then an announcer will declare from Allah, O creatures! It is for anyone who forgives a believer. A great many will forgive their dues to their oppressors. Still a few will not do so. Then Allah will say, No one who did wrong to another will go to my paradise today. And no such person will be sent towards hell who has to repay any due to a Muslim, before repaying it at the time of reckoning, O my creatures. Be ready for reckoning. Then they will be allowed to proceed, till they reach the field of Mahishar, and the books will be laid open, given to the people, and weighing scales will be set, and the prophets and the witnesses, that is, imams, will be present. Every imam will give witness against his people that he had stood among them with the command of Allah, and called them to the way of Allah. At this juncture, a Qurayshite asked Imam Zain al-Abidin, peace be upon him. O son of the Messenger of Allah! If a believer demands some dues from an unbeliever, what will be taken from that unbeliever when he is from the people of fire? Imam said, Some of the sins of the believer will be transferred to the account of the unbeliever, to the extent of the right of the believer upon him, and he will have to undergo that much extra punishment. The Qurayshite asked, If that due was from a Muslim to a Muslim, how would it be recompensated? The Imam said, Some of the good deeds of the man who had wronged, to the extent of that wrong, will be taken away from him and given to the wronged party. The Qurayshite again asked, If the man who had done wrong did not have any good deed. The Imam said if the wrongdoer did not have any good deed, surely there would be some sins committed by the wronged party, those sins will be taken away from him, and added to the sins of the wrongdoer. In this way, people will have to repay for the wrongs, injustices and tyrannies committed against other persons. Can we afford it? Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, said, Know that the sin is of three types, there is a sin which will not be forgiven, and a sin which will not be ignored, and a forgiven sin which will not be looked into. The sin which will not be forgiven is to ascribe any partner to Allah. Allah has said, Verily, Allah will not forgive that partner be set up with him. Quran, 4:48. And the sin which will be forgiven is the ordinary sins done by a servant of Allah by which he puts only himself into harm. And the sin which will not be ignored is the wrong done by the servants of Allah to one another. The reckoning in this case is very tough. And this does not mean big injustices like wounding by knife or flogging by whips. But it includes even small injustices. Someone asked Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, how will Allah take the accounts of all his creation, at one time, and they would be so many? Imam, peace be upon him, said, just as he gives them sustenance, at one time, and they are so many. Then he was asked, how will he take their accounts when they would not be seeing him? Imam, peace be upon him, said, just as he gives them sustenance and they do not see him. It is the right of every person to be treated with justice, but nobody has a right to the mercy of the judge. It is for this reason that every person will get his due rewards from Allah, there is no exception in this rule. Even the unbelievers, if their worldly well-being had not compensated their good deeds, will be given their rewards, in the form of reduction in their punishment. For example, Hatim and Nau Sherwan will have to go to hell, because they were unbelievers, but according to a hadith, they will not feel any trouble there, because of their generosity and justice respectively. But as was mentioned in God, an Islamic perspective, the mercy of Allah on the Day of Judgment will surround the true believers only, it will not reach the unbelievers and hypocrites. About promise of reward and threat of punishment, Sheikh As-Sadiq, may Allah be pleased with him, has written, It is our belief that whatever reward Allah has promised for a deed, He will surely fulfill that promise, but whatever punishment has been threatened for an action, Allah has the discretion about it. If He metes out that punishment it will be by His justice, and if He forgives, it will be by His mercy and grace, and your Lord is not unjust towards the creatures. Therefore, if someone is a believer, he is basically entitled to go to paradise. And he will finally reach paradise. The only question is, and it is a big question indeed, whether he will be sent there without first being punished for his sins and misdeeds. As was mentioned in chapter 17, 20, and 22, if a believer was not cleansed of his sins by the troubles of the worldly life, or by death pangs, or by the squeeze of the grave, or punishment in Barzakh, then he will have to be sent to hell for his due punishment. If this happens, then it will be a manifestation of the justice of Allah. On the other hand, he may have to his credit one or more such good deeds which may give Allah an excuse to shower his mercy upon him, and forgive his sins. Or he may get Shafa'at, intercession, of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, or Imams, or Bibi Fatima, peace be on them all, or of other believers. In that case, Allah will forgive him, to show the honor of the interceders. But hear the warning given by Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, quoted in chapter 17, must be repeated. Therefore, do good work, and obey the commands of God, and do not rely merely on faith and our intercession, and do not think of the punishment of Allah as a small matter, because there will be among the sinner, believers, those who will not get our intercession but after 300,000 years. Think of it. 300,000 years in the fire of hell. May Allah have mercy on us. Alama Majlisi, may Allah be pleased with him, says, know that Hisab, accounting of deeds, is Haq, truth, and numerous ayats and mutawatira hadith have spoken about it. But there is some deference in the ahadith concerning what will the servant of Allah be required to give account of, and what they will he asked of. For example, some ahadith show that one will not be asked about the things used lawfully, while other ahadith say, in the world's lawful things is reckoning, and in its unlawful things is punishment. Maybe the first type of ahadith refer to the believers, that they will not be asked about lawfully used things, and the second type refers to unbelievers, or, maybe, the first type refers to the necessities, like food, clothes, house and spouse, while the others refer to that which exceeds the need, like hoarding wealth more than one's need, or spending it on unnecessary items which are disliked by Shariat. From the above explanation we may understand other ayats and ahadith which, at first glance, may appear to differ from each other. But in fact there is no difference and no contradiction at all. An atheist had asked Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, about many ayats of the Quran concerning the Day of Judgment, which he claimed were contradictory to one another. Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, said, these ayats do not describe the condition of one time and place. They explain the situation of various places on the day which will be 50,000 years long. Afterwards, the Imam, peace be upon him, explained which ayat is about which group and for what period. Chapter 44. The Path and Its Stations. Sirat in Arabic means the path. The Quran has used the word as Siratul Mustaqim, straight path, for the divine religion. In the context of Qiyamat, Sirat means a bridge upon hell over which all mankind will have to pass. Sheikh As-Saduq, may Allah be pleased with him, has written. It is our belief about Sirat that it is Haq, truth, and that it is the bridge of hell, and upon it is the path of all the creatures, as Allah has said, not one of you but will pass over it, this is a firm decree of thy Lord. Quran, 1971. And Sirat, on the other hand, is the name of the proofs of Allah, that is, the prophets and imams, thus he who knew them, had their true marifat, in this world and obeyed them, Allah will give him permission to pass from that Sirat which is the bridge over Jahannam, hell, on the day of Qiyamah, the day of sorrow and shame. The Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said to Ali, peace be upon him, O Ali. On the day of Qiyamah, shall sit I and you and Gabriel on the Sirat, and shall not pass over the Sirat except he who would have a release from Jahannam based on your wilayat, love and obedience. This hadith has been narrated by many Sunni scholars also, and it proves that the salvation on that day depends upon the love and obedience of Ali, peace be upon him. How is it that the prophets and imams are called Sirat in this world? As was explained about Mizan, the essential meaning of path is the way connecting two points. As the prophets and imams connect the human beings with God, it is perfectly right to call them the path of Allah. At the same time, they brought the divine religion to help the people reach nearer to Allah. For this reason, the religion brought by them is also called Path of Allah, and, in that context, they are called guides. Thus, they are the paths, and they are the guides. On that Sirat of Kiamat, there will be Aqwabat, mountain passes, or Mawqif, stops or stations. Every station is named after one command of Allah and His laws. When someone will reach a station named, for example, fast, he will be asked whether he had fasted as ordered by Allah. Sheikh As-Saduq, may Allah be pleased with him, writes, about the mountain passes which are on the way of Marsha, it is our belief that each of these passes has a separate name, a wajib thing, or an order, or a haram thing. When a man will reach a pass named after a wajib thing, and he had neglected that thing in this world, he will be detained there and asked to repay the dues of Allah, then if any other good deed came to his rescue or mercy of Allah saved him, he will be allowed to safely pass from there to the next mountain pass. In this way, he will be sent from one pass to another, and will be detained at every pass, and asked about his shortcomings in that particular order of Allah. Then if he came out safely from all the passes, he will reach the house of eternity, that is, paradise. He will live there a life which will not be conquered by death, and will find a bliss which will not be marred by any distress, will remain in the protection of Allah, with his prophets, and proofs, and truthful persons, and martyrs and virtuous servants of Allah. But if he was detained at a pass, and asked about a right of Allah which he had neglected, and was not saved by any good deed and the mercy of Allah did not come to his rescue, his foot would slip from that pass, and he will fall into the fire of Jahannam. We seek protection of Allah against it. And all these passes are upon the Sirat. And name of one pass is Wilayat, everyone will be stopped therein, and asked about the love and obedience of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib and the 11 Imams after him, peace of Allah be upon them. He who will bring it with him, as he was supposed to, will be saved, and he who did not bring it will enter hell. And this is the meaning of the saying of Allah. And stop them, for they must be asked. Quran, 37:24. Likewise, one pass is named Sila-i-Rihem, good behavior towards relatives, and another is named Mursad, watchtower, and one is named Trust, another is named Salat, prayer. Likewise, there will be passes named after every wajib, order or haram deed. Man will be detained there and asked about that particular thing. Imam Ja'far A-Sadeq, peace be upon him, said that there are 50 stations in the Qiyamah, and man will be detained at each of them for 1,000 years by this world's reckoning. It is narrated by Shia and Sunni traditionalists that, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his progeny, told Hazrat Ali, if a person worshipped Allah as long as Noah stayed in his ummat, that is, 2,500 or 950 years, and spent gold equal to the Uhud mountain in the way of Allah, and got such long life that did 1,000 Hajj, pilgrimage, on foot, then was killed unjustly between the Safa and Marwa. Yet if he did not love thee, O Ali, he would not smell the scent of the garden, paradise, and would not enter it. Similar ahadith have been narrated in various commentaries of the Quran. One may ask why. The reason is this: the belief that Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, is the first of the 12 rightful successors of the Prophet of Allah ensures that one believes in Allah, his messenger and 12 imams. In short, it is the culmination of all the fundamental beliefs. And if anyone rejects this belief, his faith in Allah and the Prophet remains incomplete. And we know that there will be stops on the bridge of Jahannam. Naturally, The stop of Imamat will come after the stops of Tawhid and Nabuwwat. And even after passing through these stops, if one had not accepted Hazrat Ali as the first Imam, he would fall down from the stop of Imamat. In this background, the above-mentioned ahadith become crystal clear. After the matters of faith, we come to the commands of Allah. On this side, the daily prayers have been given the same importance as Imamat has in faith. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, has said, "If it, the prayer, is accepted, other deeds will be accepted, and if it is rejected, the rest will be rejected." According to other ahadith, the prayer will be the first thing, action, to be checked. If it is correct, other deeds will be looked into, otherwise, the rest will be ignored. As the prayer will be the first stop of the deeds, the reason of the above ahadith is not difficult to understand. Correctness and acceptance of good deeds. In the above ahadith, two words have been used, accepted and correct. First of all, it should be appreciated that performing a wajib action, for example, prayer, has two benefits, one negative, another positive. The negative benefit is that it protects you from the punishment of tarikusala, one who neglects the prayer. This benefit will reach to anyone who performs the prayer correctly and regularly. After that comes the stage of acceptance. Allah has declared through His representatives that He accepts only that good deed which is done with pure intention, ikhlas, which is performed purely for the pleasure of Allah, without any worldly motive, like showing people how pious one is. It is for this reason that, according to many ahadith, some prayers are accepted completely, while others are accepted in parts only, a sajda, a surah, or a tashahud, and so on. Only that part is accepted during which the whole attention and intention of the praying person was towards Allah. It is on those accepted parts that the rewards will be given. This is what I have termed as the positive benefit. Therefore, although the reward and acceptance of a wajib or sunnat deed depends upon purity of intention, one has to go on performing those wajib actions to save oneself from punishment and disgrace. And getting saved from punishment is no less desirable than getting rewards on the Day of Judgment. Chapter 45. The Holy Prophet and His Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all. Previous chapters have shown some of the fadhilat, high prestige, of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and his Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, on the Day of Qiyamah. Based upon the ayats of the Quran and ahadith of Holy Prophet and Aimah, peace be upon them all, it is our belief that their position and rank will be the highest in the presence of Allah. Here just a few of the most important fazail, plural of fazilat, are given for the information of the readers. First of all, as was hinted in a previous chapter, these 14 masameen, peace be upon them, will take the accounts of their Shia Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, was asked the explanation of the ayats, "Verily, unto us is their return, then verily upon us is to reckon with them." Quran, 88:25-26. Imam, peace be upon him, said, inter alia, "On the Day of Qiyamat, Allah will entrust the accounting of our Shias to us." Question: the ayat says that the people will return to us, that is, to Allah, and upon us, that is, upon Allah, is their reckoning. How could Imam, peace be upon him, claim that the accounting of their Shias would be in their hands? Answer: here is an example. Allah says in the Quran, "It is Allah that takes the souls of men, at death," Quran, 39:42. But in various other ayats he attributes this work to the angels. For example, those whose souls the angels take in a state of purity. So, Allah is Al-Mamit, the bringer of death, and angels take out the souls of men by His authority and according to His command. Likewise, Allah is Al-Hasib, the reckoner, and still He may authorize Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, and his true successors to check the accounts of their Shias according to His guidance and command. Such arrangement cannot undermine His power and authority. Second and third are wasila and liwa ul hamd, which will be given to our beloved Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, wasila is his pulpit, made of precious jewels and minerals, and very high. When it will be placed among the pulpits of other prophets, it will look like full moon among the stars. Liwa means standard, flag. Liwa ul Hamd means Saint Jewedad of praise. It is the personal standard of the Holy Prophet, given to him by Allah on the Day of Judgment. On it is written, there is none to be worshipped except Allah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, the successful are only those who succeed by mercy of Allah. It will be borne by Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, will proceed towards his wasila, enwrapped in a robe of nur, light, wearing the crown of power and majesty, and Ali bin Abi Talib will be before him, carrying the liwa ul hamd. Reaching the wasila, the Holy Prophet will ascend to its highest step, and Ali will sit just below him, carrying his standard. Then it will be announced, "This is my beloved Muhammad, and this is my wali Ali bin Abi Talib." Tuba, a tree in paradise, is for him who loved him, and wail, hell, is for him who held enmity towards him and told lies about him. Then Ridwan, the keeper of paradise, will present himself before the Holy Prophet and after salam will say, "I am Ridwan, the keeper of the garden, my Lord has ordered me to bring to you the keys of the gardens. So, please, accept them, O Muhammad." The Holy Prophet will say, "I accept it from Lord, to him belongs the gratitude for all that he has blessed me with, give them to my brother Ali bin Abi Talib." After that, Malik, the keeper of the hell, will come and in the same way will present the keys of hell to the Holy Prophet, who after thanking Allah, will order Malik to give it to Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him. Then Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, will sit near hell, and will tell it to leave this man, because he is my follower and devotee, and take that man, he is my enemy. And, in the words of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, verily, Jahannam, hell, on that day will be the most obedient towards Ali, and it is because, verily, Ali, peace be upon him, that day is Qasim al-Jannati wan Nar, the distributor of the garden and fire. It is to these distinctions of Ali, peace be upon him, that Imam Shafi'i refers in his poem. Translation? Ali, his love is a shield, against fire. He is the distributor of the hell and the paradise, the true successor of the chosen one, that is, the Prophet. The Imam of the human beings and the jinns. Let us pray to Allah to include us on that day among the devotees and followers of Ali bin Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The fourth is the Hoard of Kawthar. Hoard means small reservoir of water artificially formed. Kawthar literally means abundance. Allah says in the Quran, "Verily, we gave thee Kawthar." Quran 108:1. This abundance was promised to our beloved Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, both in this world and in the Qiyamah. The abundance in Qiyamah is the hoard which Allah created for Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny. Sheikh As-Saduq, may Allah be pleased with him, says, "It is our belief about the hoard that it is true and that its width is like the distance between Ayla and Sana'a. And it is the hoard of the Prophet, it has countless cups like stars, and its administration on the day of Qiyamah will be in the hands of Ali bin Abi Talib. He will give its drink to his devotees and will remove his enemies from there. And one who drinks once from it would never be thirsty again." And the Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said, "A group among my companions will be taken out from near me, and I will be on the hoard, and they will be taken towards the left side, the side of punishment, and I will say, O my Lord, they are my companions. And I will be told, surely, you do not know what they did after your death." Almost all these things are narrated by the Sunni scholars also. The abundance in this world means continuity of his lineage through Ali and Fatima, peace be upon them. The Meccans used to taunt the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that he had no male issue and as such he was childless, because the Arabs used to think that one's progeny could be continued through a son only. Allah promised our beloved Prophet that, verily, we granted thee abundance, therefore, turn to thy Lord in prayer and sacrifice, verily, thy enemy is Abtar, cut off from progeny, Quran, 108:1-3. This surah has two prophecies, 1, that the progeny of the Holy Prophet would be abundant, 2, that the progeny of his spiteful enemies would be cut off. Today you will not find anyone claiming to be from the progeny of Abu Jahl and his group, who are meant by thy enemies, and the progeny of the Holy Prophet, through Ali and Fatima, peace be upon him, are found in every part of the world, and are the living proof of the truth of the Quran. The Sunni and Shia traditionalists have narrated various traditions from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, to the effect that verily, Allah made progeny of every prophet from his loin, and he made my progeny from the loin of Ali. Also, both sects have narrated from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that every relationship, by marriage or blood, will be cut off on the day of Qiyamah, except my relationship, by marriage and blood. On that day people will be called by their mother's names, for example, Zayd son of Zainab, so that illegitimate children may be saved from public humiliation. But, according to the Sunni traditions, the progeny of Ali and Fatima, peace be upon them, will be called by the names of their fathers. The Shia traditions say that all the followers, Shias, of Ali bin Abi Talib, peace be upon him, will share this honor. Shia of Ali, peace be upon him, will be called by the name of his father. On that day, the followers will be called with their leaders. Allah says, the day we shall call together all peoples with their respective imams. Quran, 17:71. The true believers will follow their true imams and be overwhelmed by their divine light. As Allah says, the day when Allah will not permit humiliation for the Prophet and those who believe with him. Their light, that is, imam, will run forward before them and by their right hands while they say, Our Lord, perfect our light for us and grant us forgiveness, for thou hast power over all things, Quran, 66:8. Let us pray to Allah to give us the benefit of that light. Amin. Chapter 46. Shafa'at, Intercession. Allah, in His mercy, has opened many doors for His sinner servants to seek His pleasure and forgiveness. Two very important doors are Tawbah, Repentance, and Shafa'at, Intercession. Before explaining the Shafa'at, a few details about Tawbah will not be out of place here. Allah says in the Quran, O ye who believe! Turn to Allah with sincere repentance, in the hope that your Lord will remove from you your ills, evil deeds, and admit you into the gardens beneath which rivers flow. Quran, 66:8. Another ayat says, When those come to thee who believe in our signs, say peace be on you, your Lord has inscribed for himself the rule of mercy. Verily, if any of you did evil in ignorance, and thereafter repented and amended his conduct, lo! He is oft forgiving, most merciful. Quran, 6:54. Thus Allah forgives all sins and transgressions if a sinner repents sincerely. The key word is sincerely. A repentance without a change of heart is no repentance. It must produce change in habit, and enhance the love and fear of Allah in one's dealings. According to Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, repentance must have six elements. The repentant must be really sorry for what he had done, he must have firm determination not to do so again, he must make amends for whatever wrong he might have done to others, he must fulfill all the obligations of religion which he had previously neglected, he should fast long enough to shed away the flesh grown of unclean and unlawful food, and he should make himself feel the taste of obedience of Allah, as he had previously enjoyed the taste of sin. When a man repents sincerely, Allah makes him as clean, from sins, as he was the day he was born. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, has said, One who repents from sin is like the one who has never committed any sin. It is for this reason that the Holy Prophet has said, "There is no intercessor more successful than repentance." Now we come to Shafa'at. It is accepted by all Muslims that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, will intercede on behalf of the sinners of his ummah. A few ayats on this subject. Who is there that can intercede in his presence except by his permission? Quran, 2-255. He knows what is before them and what is behind them, and they offer no intercession except for those who are acceptable to Allah, and they stand in awe and reverence of his glory. Quran, 21:28. Other ayats show that for the unbelievers there will not be any intercessor. But the above-mentioned two ayats show that those with whom Allah is pleased will intercede on behalf of the sinner believers, by permission of Allah. Sheikh As-Sadiq, may Allah be pleased with him, has written. It is our belief about Shafa'at that it is meant for the benefit of those whose faith was acceptable to Allah, that is, for the true believers, who might have committed sins, capital or trivial. And those who had repented from their sins will not need any intercession. And the Prophet said, "He who does not believe in my intercession, Allah will not permit him to get my Shafa'at." Also he said, "There is no intercessor more successful than repentance." And the right of Shafa'at is for the prophets, walis, successors of the prophets, believers and angels. And there will be some believers who will do Shafa'at for very large numbers like the tribes of Rabia and Mudda, and the smallest number will be that of a believer who will intercede on behalf of only 30,000 believers. And the benefit of Shafa'at is not for those who had doubts about religion, nor for those who ascribed a partner to Allah, nor it is for unbelievers and those who rejected the truth, but it is for the benefit of the sinners among those who believed in one Allah, together with his true representatives. The following two ayats are about the right of the Shafa'at given to our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, "Soon will thy Lord raise thee to a station of praise and glory," Quran, 17:79. According to many a hadith, it will be the station where the Holy Prophet will intercede on behalf of the sinners. And, verily, the hereafter will be better for thee than this world. And soon will thy Lord give thee that wherewith thou shalt be well pleased. Quran, 93:4-5. It means, according to a hadith, that Allah will go on granting the intercession of the Holy Prophet till he will say, "O my Lord, now I am well pleased and fully satisfied." Chapter 47. Paradise. It is not possible to describe even partially the bliss of paradise, or the tortures of hell. Therefore, some fundamental facts are mentioned here in brief. First, as resurrection will be of body and soul together, the reward and punishment will have to cover both. In other words, paradise and hell will provide physical comforts and tortures respectively as well as the spiritual ones. Therefore, paradise and hell are physical things, and not just spiritual bliss or sorrow as the Sufis say. Second, paradise and hell are already created. It is not that they will be created at some time in future. Our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, entered the paradise and saw hell at the time of Miraj, ascension. Allah did not create any witness more trustworthy than Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, and we believe all that he said. Third, the word used in the Quran for the abode of the believers is Jannat, garden. Sometimes, other words are joined with it, thus we find Jannatul Adn, garden of everlasting bliss. Jannatul Firdaus, garden of paradise. The Arabic Firdaus is rendered in Latin languages as paradise, and in this book almost all references to the Jannat have been rendered as paradise for easy understanding. Jannatul Mawa, garden of abode. Jannatun Naim, garden of bliss. Jannatul Qud, garden of eternity. Some other words used for the paradise are Dar es Salaam, abode of peace. Darul Akhirah, abode of the hereafter. Darul Maqama, abode of residence. Some streams of the paradise mentioned by name in the Quran are Kawthar, Salsabil and Tosneem. According to many a hadith, paradise has 8 gates. Some of them are Gate of Mercy, Gate of Patience, Gate of Gratitude, Gate of Sufferings, and the Great Gate. Fourth, an important tree in paradise is called Tuba. It is planted in the abode of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, and it has a branch in every palace and mansion of the paradise. Whenever a believer would desire anything, that branch would provide it for him at once. There would be no need to utter the command, the desire would be obeyed without necessitating any utterance. Sometimes the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said that the root of Tuba was in his house. At other times he said that it was in the house of Ali, peace be upon him. Somebody asked him about it and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, replied, "Verily, my house and Ali's house is the same." Many traditions narrated by Sunni traditionalists like Daylami, Tabarani and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal confirm that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, Hazrat Fatima, peace be upon her, Imam Hassan, peace be upon him, and Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, will be in the same mansion in Jannat. Allama Majlisi has narrated a hadith from Ikmaluddin that the Holy Prophet's, peace be upon him and his progenies, abode is in Jannat Adn in the center of the paradise, nearest to the divine arsh, throne, and the 12 imams, peace be upon them, will be in the same garden with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. Fifth, Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, narrated from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that the paradise is prohibited to the prophets until I enter it, and is prohibited to all the Ummat's peoples, until enter into it the Shias of Azahel Bayt. Sixth, Sheikh As-Sadyuk, may Allah be pleased with him, has written, and it is our belief that before entering the garden, the believer will be shown his place in the fire and informed that, that was the place where he would have gone if he had disobeyed Allah. And before entering the fire, the unbeliever will be shown his place in the garden and told that, that was the place where he would have gone if he had obeyed Allah. Then those vacant places in the garden will be added to the rewards of the people of the paradise, and those vacant places in the fire will be added to the punishments of the people of fire, and this is the meaning of the words of Allah, those will be the heirs who will inherit the paradise, they will dwell therein forever. The words, heir and inherit refer to this episode, whereas the believers will get the places which were kept for others who did not make it and whose rejection of faith led them to die fire. Chapter 48. Blessings of Paradise. Paradise is the confluence of every imaginable, and even unimagined, bliss, content, happiness, and joy. Sheikh As-Sadyuk, may Allah be pleased with him, has written, it is our belief that paradise is the abode of eternity and house of peace. There is neither death there or old age, neither ailment nor disease, neither deterioration nor any handicap, neither sorrow nor worry, neither need nor poverty. And it is the house of plenty and bliss, and place of permanency with honor. The people of paradise will not suffer from any monotony or tiredness therein. They will get there what the souls desire and eyes appreciate, and they will abide there forever. And it is the house whose residents will be, like, neighbors to Allah in the company of the friends of Allah and his beloveds, those who are honored in his presence. And the people of paradise will be of various grades, some of them will enjoy the numerous foods and drinks and fruits and huris. Every one of them will enjoy what he likes most. Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, verily, people who worship Allah are divided in 3 groups. One group worships him with the aim of paradise, hoping to get the rewards from Allah. This is the worship of servants. Another group worships him because they are afraid of his fire. This is the worship of slaves. And one group worships him for his love. This is the worship of noble people. And it is our belief that nobody leaves this world until he sees his place in the paradise or the fire. And the lowest in the rank among the people of the paradise will be given in the paradise 10 times like this world. Sheikh Mufid, may Allah be pleased with him, has said. Paradise is the house of bliss. Its residents will not feel any monotony or tiredness. Allah has made it the abode of those who knew him and worshipped him. Its blessings are eternal, it will not be discontinued. And its residents will be of various types. There will be one who spent his life purely for Allah, he is the person who will enter it without any fear. And then there will be another who mixed good deeds with sins and evils, and kept postponing the repentance till the death pounced upon him and he died without repenting. Maybe such a man was punished in his worldly life and barzakh, or only in the worldly life. If so, then he will enter the paradise, without further trouble, and maybe his sins would be forgiven, for any reason known to Allah. Such a man also will go to paradise straight away. Or maybe he will get deliverance after being punished in hell first. And there will be the one who will find the grace of Allah without any good deed on his part. They are the children who will remain in the paradise to serve its residents, and these children will not find the least trouble in serving the people of paradise, rather they will enjoy it. And the reward of the residents of the paradise consists of the enjoyments of foods and drinks, and attractive scenes and sexual enjoyments. Alama Majlisi, may Allah be pleased with him, has explained the grades of enjoyments in a long description, in which he, inter alia, says: enjoyment of the physical comforts and blessings has many grades according to the difference in the spiritual condition of the people. Some of them will enjoy as the cattle's enjoy pasture, and will get the physical pleasure as they were doing in this world, without appreciating the nearness or love of Allah. Others will enjoy these blessings because the paradise is a place of honor chosen by Allah for his friends, and because it is the place which manifests the pleasure of Allah, and which has brought them nearer to Allah. According to Quran and Hadith, there will not be any hatred, enmity, envy or quarrel in the paradise. Everyone will be highly pleased with what he would be given by Allah, and no one will desire the other's place or rank. There will be no excrement of any kind in the paradise, whatever they will eat and drink will be removed from their bodies in the form of a scented, fragrant, aromatic sweat. The women will be free from bleeding, pregnancy and other such troubles. The light in the paradise will be not that of sun, moon or stars. The time there will always be like that between dawn and sunrise in this world, and the breeze will be like cool gentle wind which one often feels at dawn in this world. Mullah Hassan Yazdi has written in Anwarul Hidayah about some of the bounties of the paradise. A gist is given here. The enjoyments of the paradise are of various kinds. 1. The greatest bliss will be the pleasure of Allah, as Allah says in the Quran, and the greatest bliss is the pleasure of Allah. Quran, 9:72. Sexual pleasure, the believers will get at least 70,000 huris, apart from their believer wives. Whenever the believer will go to them, he will find them virgins. Tasty food and fruits, every time they would get a fruit it would give a new taste. As Allah says in the Quran, every time they are fed with fruits therefrom, they say, why, this is what we were fed with before, but they are given similar, just in shape, not in taste, Quran, 2:25. Joy, happiness and content of heart. Gatherings with friends, as Allah says, and we shall remove from their hearts any lurking sense of injury, they will be brothers joyfully facing each other on thrones. Quran, 15:47. Palaces and abodes made of precious metals and adorned with jewels, gardens with streams and fruits and flowers. Various types of entertainments, including musical sounds of birds, reserved for those who protected themselves from music in this life. Various streams, as Allah says in the Quran, here is a likeness of the garden which the pious are promised, in it are rivers of incorruptible water, rivers of milk, of which taste never changes, and rivers of wine, a joy to those who will drink it, and rivers of pure and clear honey. In it for them are all kind of fruits, and grace from their Lord. Quran, 47:15. According to a hadith, the wine will be non-intoxicating. It will give pleasure without having any effect on sense or morality. And it is reserved for those only who abstain from liquor in this world. The knowledge that the bliss of the paradise is theirs forever, without any danger of death or transfer or illness or worry, etc. Ever-increasing grace of Allah, visits from the angels and remembrance of Allah at all times, as Allah says, and those who believe and do good, their Lord will guide them because of their faith, beneath them will flow rivers in gardens of bliss. This will be their cry therein, glory to Thee, O Allah. And peace will be their greeting therein, and the close of their cry will be praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds. Quran 10:9-10. And the most pleasant bliss will be nearness to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. And for a lover and follower of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, peace be on them all, this grace of Allah will surpass all other graces. But the best description of the bliss of the paradise is given in a hadith Qudsi in these words, I have kept ready for my servants what no eye ever looked upon, and no ear ever heard of, nor any heart ever imagined. And it is written in the Quran, now no person knows what delights of the eyes are kept hidden for them as a reward for their good deeds. Quran 32:17. Chapter 49. The Hell. As the paradise contains all kinds of joy, happiness and grace of Allah, the hell contains all types of punishment, torture and humiliation. Sheikh As-Sadiq, may Allah be pleased with him, has written. And it is our belief about the fire that it is the abode of disgrace and place of punishment for the unbelievers and sinners, and will not remain for ever in the fire except the unbelievers and polytheisms. And so far as the wrongdoers from among the believers are concerned, they will eventually come out of it by the mercy of Allah or the intercession of the prophets and imams, and the people of fire are truly poor, they will neither be allowed to die nor their punishment will be reduced. Quran 35:36, they will not taste in it any cold water or drink except a boiling fluid, and a fluid, dark and murky. Quran 78:24-25, and if they would want food, they would be fed with zakkum, a cursed tree. And if they seek relief, they will be granted water like molten brass that will scald their faces. How dreadful the drink! How uncomfortable a couch to recline upon! Quran 18:29. They will cry form a place far from the grace of Allah, our Lord. Bring us out of this, if ever we return to evil, then shall we be wrongdoers indeed. Quran 23:107. For a time no reply will be given to them, then it will be said, be you driven into it with ignominy. And speak you not to me. Quran 23:108. And they will cry to Malik, the keeper of the fire, O Malik, request thy Lord to let us die. He will say, verily, you are to remain therein for ever. And it has come into the traditions that Allah shall order some people to be led to the fire, then he will tell Malik, tell the fire not to burn their feet, because they used to go to the mosques, and not to burn their hands, as they used to raise them in invocations, do us, and not to burn their tongues, because they recite the Quran very much, and not to burn their faces, because they used to perform wudu perfectly. Then Malik will ask them, O wretched ones! What was your condition? Why have you been sent to hell? They will say, we were doing good deeds not for Allah, but to show people. Now it was said to us, take your rewards from those for whom you had worked. Sheikh Mufid, may Allah be pleased with him, has said, the fire, that is hell, is the adobe of all who did not know Allah. And even some of those will be sent therein because of their sins and wrongdoings, but such a man will not remain there for ever, he will be taken out of it, and sent to the everlasting bliss. And nobody will remain for ever in the fire except the unbelievers. And every ayat, which mentions everlasting punishment of fire, is about the unbelievers, and not about those who knew Allah. And it is proved by the reason, and the Quran, and well-known traditions and unanimous belief. Hell has seven gates, as Allah says, to it are seven gates, For each of those gates is a special class of sinners assigned. Quran, 15:44. According to the traditions, those gates are as follows. Jahim, its people will be made to stand on burning stone which will make their brains boil, as cooking pot boils its contents. Allah says, then, for such as have transgressed the bounds, and have preferred the life of this world, the abode will be Jahim. Quran, 79:37-39. Lazar, it will be the place of those who turned away from Allah, and were busy in amassing wealth without taking out the dues of Allah and His creatures. The fire will catch them by their hands, feet and forehead and suck them inside. Allah says, by no means. For it would be the Lazar, fire, plucking out the sinner right to the skull. Inviting all such as turn their backs and turn away their faces, and collect wealth and hide it. Quran, 70:15-18. Saqwa, Allah says about it, soon will I cast him into Saqwa and what will explain to thee what Saqwa is. It allows nothing to endure, nor does it leave anything alone, darkening and changing the color of man. Over it are 19, guards. Quran, 74:26-30. Kutuma, literally it means that which crushes to pieces. It throws out sparks as huge as forts, as if there were a string of yellow camels, marching swiftly. It will break everyone who is sent inside and grind him to powder, and then they will be made whole again and again. Allah says, woe to every scandalmonger and backbiter, who piles up the wealth, and lays it by, he thinks that his wealth would make him last forever. By no means. He will be sure to be thrown into Hutama, that which crushes to pieces. And what will explain to thee what is that which crushes to pieces? It is, the fire of, the wrath of, Allah, kindled to a blaze, that does mount right to the hearts. It shall be made into a vault over them, in columns outstretched. Quran, 104:1-9. Poyar, literal meaning, a pit. Allah says, but he, whose balance of good deeds will be light, will have his home in a bottomless pit. And what will explain to thee what it is? A fire blazing fiercely. Quran, 101:8-11. There will be in it people who will cry out, O Malik! Help us! Then Malik will provide them with pots of fire in which will be boiling fetid water, which will come out from their bodies like molten brass. When they will raise it to drink, the flesh of their faces will drop away because of its intense heat. About this, Allah says, and if they seek relief they will be granted water like molten brass that will scald their faces. How dreadful the drink! How uncomfortable a seat to recline upon! Quran, 18:29. And anyone thrown into it, will go on falling for 70 years, always engulfed by fire. When his skin will burn away, Allah will give him another skin. Ibn Abil Oya, an atheist, once asked Imam Ja'far A. Sadek, peace be upon him, about the word of Allah, as often as their skins are roasted through, we shall change them for fresh skins, so that they may taste the punishment, for Allah is exalted in power, wise. Quran, 4:56, he objected to it saying, let us suppose that the present skins had participated in the sins. But what would be the sins of the new skins? Imam, peace be upon him, said, woe unto thee! It would be the same skin, and yet it would be a new one. Ibn Abil Oya said, give me an example from this world. Imam, peace be upon him, said, let us say that a man took a brick and crushed it to small particles, then pouring some water on it and putting it into a brick-making frame, made another brick out of it. Now, is it not the same brick, and yet is it not another brick? Ibn Abil Oya said, certainly. Sayyir, it means blazing fire. There are in it 300 curtains of fire, in every curtain are 300 forts of fire, in every fort are 300 abodes of fire, and in every abode are 300 types of punishments of fire. There are snakes of fire, and scorpions of fire, and yokes of fire, And it is this about which Allah says, Verily, we have prepared for the unbelievers chains, and yokes, and a blazing fire. Quran, 76-4. Jahannam, there are in it Falak and Sa'ud and Atam. Falak is a well or pit inside the Jahannam, when it is opened it makes the fire blaze even more fiercely. And it is a far greater punishment compared to the previous six stages. Sa'ud is a brass mountain of fire in the center of Jahannam. It is mentioned in this ayat, Soon will I take him to Sa'ud, that is, the mountain of punishment. Quran, 74:17. Atam is a valley of melted brass around the above-mentioned mountain. And it is the place of the fiercest punishment. Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, Verily, there is a fire inside the fire from which even the people of the fire would seek protection. It was created only for every proud, powerful, obstinate transgressor, and for every rebellious Satan, and for every obstinate person who does not believe in the day of reckoning, and for every enemy of the progeny of Muhammad. Also, he said, The man with the lightest punishment on the day of resurrection will be the one standing up to his ankles in the fire, wearing two sandals of fire with two straps of fire, his brain will be boiling by its heat like a cooking pot. He would think that nobody would be in greater punishment, while in fact his would be the lightest calamity. The seven gates of the fire have been interpreted in some traditions as seven grades, the seventh being the fiercest, which is the abode of the hypocrites, as Allah says, Verily the hypocrites will be in the lowest depth of the fire, no helper you will find for them. Quran, 4-145. And the first grade, or depth, will be for those believers who had committed sins and would have to undergo punishment to atone for it, the details of which have been given earlier. For those believers, the hardest punishment will be the realization that they have been turned away from the divine grace, and removed from the company of the friends of Allah. It is this aspect of punishment which has been described by Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib, peace be upon him, in Du'a-e-Kumail. 4. If thou wilt subject me, together with thy enemies, to the penalties and join me with those who shall have merited punishment, and separate me from those who love and adore thee, grant me, my God, my Master, my Lord, that I shall patiently endure thy punishment, but how shall I be patient on separation from thee? And grant me, that I shall patiently endure the burning heat of fire, but how will I endure the pain of being deprived of beholding thy clemency? Or how can I remain in the fire, while I have the hope of thy forgiveness? Then by mercy of Allah and intercession of the Prophet and Imams, peace be upon them, they shall be forgiven. They will be taken out of the fire, given bath in Kawthar and awarded their places in the paradise. May Allah have mercy on us and save us from the fire, as we do not have strength to endure that punishment even for a single moment. Chapter 50. Araf. Araf means the heights. It is a place between the gardens and fire. It has been mentioned in the seventh surah of the Quran, which is called Al-Araf because of it. Here are some ayats from that surah. Until, when our messengers, of death, arrive and take their, that is, unbelievers, souls, they say, Where are the things that you used to invoke besides awe? They will reply, They have left us in the lurch. And they will bear witness against themselves that they rejected Allah. He will say, Enter you in the company of the peoples who passed away before you, men and jinns, into the fire. Every time a new people enters, it curses its people, until they follow each other, all into the fire. Says the last about the first, our Lord. It is these that misled us, so give them a double penalty in the fire. He will say, double for all, but this you do not understand. Then will say the first to the last, see then. No advantage you have over us, so taste you of the penalty for all that you did. To those who reject our signs and treat them with arrogance, no opening will there be of the gates of heaven, nor will they enter the garden, until thy camel passes through the eye of the needle. Such is our reward of those in sin. For them there is hell as a couch and folds of covering above. Such is our requital of those who wrong. But those who believe and do good deeds, no burden do we place on any soul but that which it can bear, they will be companions of the garden, therein to dwell forever. And we shall remove from their hearts any lurking sense of injury, beneath them will be rivers flowing, and they shall say, Praise be to Allah who has guided us to this, never could we have found guidance, had it not been for the guidance of Allah. Indeed it was the truth that the messengers of our Lord brought unto us. And they shall hear the cry, Behold! The gardens before you! You have been made its inheritors, because of your deeds. The companions of the garden will call out to the companions of the fire, We have indeed found the promise of our Lord to us true. Have you also found your Lord's promise true? They shall say, Yes. Then a crier shall proclaim between them, The curse of Allah is on the wrongdoers, those who would hinder men from the path of Allah, and would seek in it something crooked, they were those who denied the hereafter. And between them shall be a veil or partition, and on the heights will be men who would know every one by his marks, they will call out to the companions of the garden, Peace on you. They will not have entered it, but they will have assurance thereof. When their eyes shall be turned towards the companions of the fire, they shall say, Our Lord, send us not to the company of wrongdoers. And the men on the heights will call to certain men whom they will know from their marks, saying, Of what profit to you were your hoards and your arrogant ways? Behold! Are these not the men whom you swore that Allah would never bless them with His mercy? Then turning to other group, they will say, Enter you the garden, no fear shall be on you nor shall you grieve. The companions of the fire will call to the companions of the garden, Pour down to us water or anything that Allah has provided for your sustenance. They will say, Both these things has Allah forbidden to those who rejected Him, such as took their religion to be mere amusement and play, and were deceived by the life of the world. That day shall we forget them as they forget the meeting of this day of theirs, and as they were wont to reject our signs. Quran, 7:37-51. I have quoted these ayats in full as they show the condition of the people of the paradise and those of the fire, and the everlasting grief and sorrow of the latter on losing their chance of salvation. These ayats mention two groups which will be on the heights. There will be those who will identify every one by his marks, and who will rebuke the people of the fire and will tell the people of the garden to enter the paradise. These men are the Holy Prophet of Islam and his 12 successors, who will order their followers to be placed in the paradise. According to some traditions, Hamza, uncle of the Holy Prophet, and Ja'far, brother of Ali bin Abi Talib, peace be upon him, and Abbas, uncle of the Holy Prophet, also will stand there. Also there will be those who would be waiting for the decision of Allah concerning themselves. For example, those true believers whose good and bad deeds would be of equal weight, those non-Shia Muslims who just followed a faith in which they were born, without knowing or understanding anything and who had no enmity towards the progeny of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. The word araf is from the same root from which is the word ma'rifa, knowledge. And, accordingly, it implies that only those people will get salvation on that day, who knew the Prophet and Imams, and whom they would recognize as their followers. Sheikh As-Sadiq, may Allah be pleased with him, has written. And it is our belief about Araf that it is the boundary between the garden and the fire. Upon it will be men who will know every one by his marks, and those men are the Prophet and his successors, peace be on them, only such man will enter the garden who knew them and would be recognized by them, as such, and the one who did not know them and whom they did not recognize would enter the fire. And upon that height will also be those who would be waiting for the decision of Allah, either He gives them punishment or turns towards them with His mercy. Sheikh Mufid, may Allah be pleased with him, has written. It has been said that Araf is a mountain between paradise and hell, and also it is said that it is the boundary wall between the two places. What is certain is that it is a place neither of the paradise nor of the fire. On the day of resurrection, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his progeny, and Imams, peace be upon them, will be upon it, and it is they that are meant in the words of Allah, and on the heights will be men who will know every one by his marks. It is so, because Allah will inform them about the people of garden and people of fire by some marks which he will put on them, and these will be the signs mentioned in the following ayats. They will know every one by his marks, Quran, 7:46. The sinners will be known by their marks, Quran, 55:41. Verily, in this are signs for those who do understand by tokens. Quran, 15:75. And it has been mentioned in the traditions that Allah will keep upon the Araf some groups which would not deserve a reward without punishment but would not deserve everlasting abode in the hell. These are the people who would be waiting for the order of Allah. For such people there is intercession, and they will have to remain on the Araf till they are allowed to enter the garden by the intercession of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, Ali, peace be upon him, and the Imams after him, peace be upon them. Also, it is said that it will be the abode of such people who were not mukallaf in this life, mukallaf, an adult and sane person, that is, they were either idiots or insane, or died before attaining adulthood. Therefore, they did not do any good or bad deed to deserve the garden or fire. So, Allah will make them live in a raf, they will be saved from punishment, because they were not mukallaf, but will not be given such blessings which other people will be given after doing good deeds. They will not be placed equal to those who reached thereafter a life spent in good deeds. Sheikh Mufid, may Allah be pleased with him, has mentioned children etc. in his discourse. It is better to give some details here on this subject. The minor children are not mukallaf, are not obliged to follow the rules of Shariat, and if they died at that age, they would not deserve any reward. But Allah in His mercy has made an exception in the case of the minor children of the believers. They will be allowed to enter the paradise. Not only that, the mercy of Allah will allow those children of the believers who had died in their infancy to intercede for their parents. Now we come to the children of unbelievers, and the idiots, and mad persons, and the person who died without getting any information about the Prophet or true religion, and the deaf and dumb persons. There are many traditions which show that they will be briefly tested on the day of resurrection and sent to the paradise or hell, accordingly. For example, Imam Muhammad Bakir, peace be upon him, has said, on the day of resurrection, Allah will test five groups, children, and the man who died between the appearance of two prophets and did not meet either of them, and the person who was alive at the time of a prophet but did not know about his claim, and the idiot, and the insane, and the deaf and dumb. Allah will send a messenger towards them, and he will prepare a blazing fire, then he will tell them, your Lord orders you to jump into it. Whosoever will jump into it will find it cool and safe, but whosoever will disobey will be led towards hell. Munajat, secret invocation, of Ali bin Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Now that we know what is to happen on the Day of Judgment, we should always seek the protection of Allah against the sorrows of that day. Here is the translation of a famous munajat, secret invocation, of Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, which will show us how to beseech our Lord for that protection. O Allah! I seek thy safety on the day when neither wealth nor sons will avail, but only he will prosper that brings to Allah good or submissive heart. 26:88-89. And I beseech thee for security on the day when the wrongdoer will bite at his hands, he will say, oh! Would that I had taken a straight path with the messenger. 25:27. And I beg from thee the safety on the day when the sinners will be known by their marks, so they will be seized by their forelocks and feet. 55:41. And I implore thee for the safety on the day when no father can avail anything for his son, nor a son avail anything for his father, verily, the promise of Allah is true. 31:33. And I seek from thee the security on the day when it will not profit the wrongdoers to present their excuses, and for them will be the curse and the home of misery. 40:52. And I ask from thee safety on the day when no soul shall have power to do anything for another, and the command that day will belong to Allah. 82:19. And I implore thee for security on the day when a man shall flee from his brother, and from his mother and father, and from his wife and children, each one of them that day will have enough concern of his own to make him indifferent to others. 80:34-37. And I ask from thee the safety on the day when the sinner's desire will be, would that he could redeem himself from the punishment of that day by sacrificing his children, and his wife, and his brother, and his kindred who sheltered him, and, in short, all that is on earth, so that it could deliver him. By no means. For it would be the fire, plucking out his being right to the skull. 70:11-16. My master, O my master! Thou art the master, and I am the slave, and does anyone have mercy upon the slave except his master? My master, O my master! Thou art the possessor, and I am the possessed, and who does have compassion on the possessed except the possessor? My master, O my master! Thou art the powerful, and I am the feeble, and can anyone have mercy on the feeble except the powerful? My master, O my master! Thou art the creator, and I am the created, and does anyone have compassion on the created except the creator? My master, O my master! Thou art the great and I am the humble, and does anyone have mercy on the humble except the great? The Imam, peace be upon him, has taken these descriptions from the Quran. I have added the reference at the end of each paragraph. My master, O my master! Thou art the power and I am the powerless, and does anyone have compassion on the powerless except the powerful? My master, O my master! Thou art self-sufficient, and I am the needy, and can anyone have mercy on the needy except the self-sufficient? My master, O my master! Thou art the giver and I am the beggar, and can anyone be magnanimous with the beggar except the giver? My master, O my master! Thou art the immortal, and I am the mortal, and who can have mercy on the mortal but the immortal? My master, O my master! Thou art the everlasting, and I am transient, and who can have compassion on the transient but the everlasting? My master, O my master! Thou art the eternal, and I am transient, and can anyone be merciful on transient but the eternal? My master, O my master! Thou art the sustainer, and I am the sustained, and can anyone be generous with the sustained but the sustainer? My master, O my master! Thou art the magnanimous, and I am the miserly, and who will have mercy on the miserly except the magnanimous? My master, O my master! Thou art the healer, and I am the sufferer, and does anyone have compassion on the sufferer except the healer? My master, O my master! Thou art the great, and I am the small, and who will have mercy on the small except the great? My master, O my master! Thou art the guide, and I am the lost one, and who will have compassion on the lost one except the guide? My master, O my master! Thou art the merciful, and I am the one in need of mercy, and can anyone have compassion on the one who needs mercy except the merciful? My master, O my master! Thou art the authority, and I am in distress, and can anyone have mercy on the one in distress except the authority? My master, O my master! Thou art the guide, and I am the wanderer, and does anyone have mercy on the wanderer except the guide? My master, O my master! Thou art the forgiver, and I am the sinner, and does anyone have mercy on the sinner except the forgiver? My master, O my master! Thou art the subduer, and I am the subdued, and can anyone have compassion on the subdued except the subduer? My master, O my master! Thou art the sustainer, and I am the sustained, and who can have mercy on the sustained except the sustainer? My master, O my master! Thou art the magnificent, and I am the humble, and who will show mercy to the humble except the magnificent? My master, O my master! Do have mercy on me with thy compassion, and be pleased with me by thy magnanimity and generosity and grace. O Lord of charity, beneficence, munificence, and magnanimity, by thy mercy, O most merciful of all merciful ones.